Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to The Whole Child. This is Bianca Goolsby with my fabulous co-host, Kimberlyn Jackson. And today is such an eventful topic and conversation because there's a lot of stuff that's popping tonight. How are you, Kimberlyn?
I'm doing pretty okay. There, like you said, a lot that's happening in the atmosphere. And we just kind of needed to unpack some of this. I know, you know, we had just talked in our last show where we were back for the new season, how we were moving the time to a later time so that we have some different type of conversations. So what we can say is when you all see us on at this time, that means there's something, you know, that we need to attune to and, you know, really direct your attention to. But I am glad to be here. I'm glad that we have the ability to utilize this platform to really educate and empower some folks. So I'm excited.
I'm excited. So this is episode 12 of The Whole Child. Can you believe that?
I cannot. This time has flown by so quickly, and I still am wrapping my mind around it most days. Wow. All right, we're doing this. All right, here we are. It's really something. Like, yeah. I'm like a master of all words today, right? I'm just kind of sitting in gratefulness and just having a grateful heart about some things that are happening. So yeah, here we are, episode 12.
So absolutely. Well, I just want to thank you and thank everyone for listening and participating. If you're watching, thank you for tuning in on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. And if you're listening, thank you for tuning in to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and of course, our favorite Amazon Music. This is something new that was just added on. So we are streaming on a lot of platforms now. So just thank you for your support and your love with Teaching for the Culture and the movement work that we're doing. So what is the title of today's episode and what we're talking about today, Kimberlyn?
Yeah, so the movement work, right, is what led us here today. So today's episode is why should you care or watch the presidential debate? So I don't know if you all were aware, I've kind of been unplugged lately, but definitely came to my understanding and knowing that the first presidential debate is tonight at 9 p.m. So it's going to be on from 9 to 10:30, and it will be on all of our news outlets as well as broadcast television. So that's your CBS, your NBC, your ABC, your Fox, your PBS, then we're talking C-SPAN, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. It's going to be on all of those platforms. And when we were preparing for today's show, I just kept saying, I feel like people need to know why this matters and why they should watch it. I, more than anybody, like I said, I've been unplugged because your boy sends me over the edge sometimes. And I can only take so much. However, I do think it is extremely important that we pay attention to what's happening tonight because it's gonna be quite an event if I can just say that. Yeah, so we want to kind of unpack some stuff, and then we want to give you all some tips. So we're not going to, as the pastors will say, we're not going to be before you long. But we do want to make sure that we put things into perspective, because now is definitely not the time to tap out. We really do need to tap in, but we have to do it in a very strategic way. So the first thing that I wanted to kind of unpack is what we might look for as we are watching tonight, right? So when we are listening, the things that we need to really attune ourselves to are the information that they give about healthcare, housing, nutrition, environmental factors, and specifically related to education. As we know, Teaching for the Culture is all about education, but those five areas are very interconnected. And I think sometimes we think of them in isolation, right? So we think about healthcare, but don't necessarily think about how healthcare impacts our kids and impacts the educational spaces. So if you think about having good healthcare, having access to healthcare keeps our kids in a healthy place so that they are able to come into the schools and function normally. And a lot of times there are underlying conditions that are going on. This is not even about COVID. This is just like in general, that there are underlying issues that are going on. And we know, especially in our communities with our Black and Brown people, that healthcare is a place where we are often underinsured and sometimes not insured at all, right? So the Affordable Health Care Act, also known as Obamacare, is on the chopping block for really, it's in danger of being cut and being dismantled and, you know, all of that stuff. So we really want to listen and attune ourselves to what is being discussed in regards to healthcare. So then the next thing is housing. So when we think about affordable housing, we think about gentrification, we think about mortgages, access to mortgages, and redlining, and all of the things that affect access to affordable housing. So now we place that in an educational context. If our kids don't know where they're sleeping at night, if they don't know, if they don't have a safe house that's free from lead or that's free from tainted water and things of that nature, that it makes it very difficult for them to focus. Along with that is nutrition. So we want to listen in about access to healthy foods. A lot of our places in Black and Brown communities are food deserts. And these are places that don't have grocery stores, don't have a market where produce can be access, right? So we really want to pay attention to what they talk about in regards to nutrition and access to healthy foods, and then environmental factors. So environmental factors are thinking about climate change, thinking about, like I already mentioned, you know, Flint still doesn't have clean water, in places in Michigan, mold, and some of the other things that happen with the denial of science and how science is impacting the way that the world is environmentally. So we want to listen to that. So again, these are things that bleed into the educational spaces because it really sets the tone for how our kids come into schools. And then of course, we want to listen for educational policy. So what are the thoughts around what education is going to look like? What are the thoughts around teacher pay? What are the thoughts around access to public health and thinking about public health versus charter, paying attention to the fact that there is a war right now on public school and what those things sound like? So those five areas are super interconnected and definitely will give us a lot of insight into what's on the horizon and the priorities that there are for both of these candidates and how they're going to move forward in regard to helping to lay the framework for policies. Does that make sense? All of that?
Yeah.
That was a lot.
It was so, a lot.
Right. And I think, especially when we've talked about on the show before about systemic racism, and we've talked about the way that the structures are woven together to create the system that people of color are oftentimes unable to free themselves from. And it's because those areas work very well together to keep us in a place of frustration and a place of subpar access to things, right? So when we're watching tonight, we just want to take note, right? You want to take note, you want to pay attention to what is being said. So our overall picture here, and especially how this relates to the work that we do at Teaching for the Culture, is really centering these conversations within education. You know, this show is all about trauma and building positive coping mechanisms. And unfortunately, education is a place where a lot of our kids encounter more trauma because we have people at the helm who do not value students of color as people and don't value their educational opportunities. So we want to put ourselves in position to understand the trickle-down effect, right? So just humor me here as I go through this, because I never want to assume that people understand all of the nuances of how this works, right? So there's a trickle-down effect starting with the president, right? So the president sets education priorities, right? So that's what we're listening for tonight. We're listening for the things that they prioritize, the things that they feel are important, the things that they would submit to the party that would be in control of Congress. These are the things that are important to me as president, and this is what I want you to create policy around. So then you look at Congress, and Congress is responsible for creating the laws that are either going to fall right in line with the presidential education priorities or be in direct contrast with the educational priorities. So when we say that, it's really when we think, let's think back to President Obama, for instance, right? And we all, you know, were filled with so much hope and joy when President Obama was elected twice times, right? It was like, oh my gosh, like we're going to really progress as people of color. Like this is just going to be so amazing. And what happened is Obama's hands were tied because Congress was Republican while he was Democrat. So whenever we have these situations where one party controls the presidency and then the other party controls the Senate and the House, they're in direct conflict. So it often ends up in a stalemate, or it ends up in a situation where policies are being passed that go against the priorities that have been set. And we saw that with Obama. Now, in contrast to a dude that's in there right now is... prior to this last election in 2018, the Senate and the House were both Republican controlled. So he was able to get all types of things done because he set his priorities, Congress falls in line, we're good to go. Like we move forward, there's no bar really to pass. Whereas now, with the when the House flips, so now there's a Democratic House, the Senate is still Republican controlled, but the House is able to at least get things to the Senate floor, and then they have to try to work across party lines in order to be able to get things back. Okay, this is, y'all, my degree is in biology, it's not in civics, but listen, this is important. So when we are looking at that, the goal is to have the party that is in control of the presidency as well as the House and the Senate be the same party so that things are moving in the same direction as opposed to the butting of heads and all of that, right? Okay. So again, when we're listening tonight, we're listening for the educational all the priorities, but the educational priorities that are set forth by these presidential candidates, okay? Now the president is responsible for selecting the Secretary of Education. Our current Secretary of Education is Betsy DeVos, however you say her name. And what we know about her is that she's anti-public school. She is very much for charters, for profit charters, and just the dismantling of public schools altogether. So when we look at the money that has been allocated to public schools, it is not in line with making sure that public schools are fully funded, that we have all the things that we need, right? So public school has been getting defunded. And at the hand of the presidential priority and the Secretary of Education, let's just take the money away, let's feed the money into charter schools, what have you, right? Okay. So then from your Secretary of Education and your president, now we want to take it to the state level. So we want to think about our governor, where our governor also has educational priorities, right? And there is the Secretary of Education at the state level. So for us in Florida, the governor is DeSantis, and then the Secretary of Education is Corcoran. So they too are very much in line with the educational priorities that have been set in the White House. right? So this is why we saw stuff, for instance, when you talk about COVID, of coming back to school, that there were threats. You know, in Hillsborough County, it was like, if you don't go back to school, we're going to take the money. And the supporting of those for-profit charters. So they're directly in line. So when the parties line up, then it's like, oh, okay, we get to move these things in the opposite direction. So at the state level, there's funding that's tied there. And that funding comes directly to the schools. So we get federal dollars, we get state dollars, and then we move to the local controls. So then we talk about our local school boards, and then the school board hires basically the district officials, right? So that trickle-down effect is really important to understand, that we have to listen to what the president or the presidential candidate is saying is important, because that's going to trickle down to the state level, which is going to trickle down to the local level, right? Which directly impacts the things that happen with our kids on an everyday basis, right? I see Aisha in the comments. She said, what we know about Bessie DeVos is she's evil when it comes to public schools. She must go. So anybody who pays attention to what has been happening with the defunding, you see now that the line goes directly back to the top, right? So that's why it's important for us to pay attention and listen to what is happening tonight during the debate, because that's going to give us a key into what this is going to look like for four more years, or what this is going to look like if there's a changing of power once the election happens, okay? I know, right? So having said all of that, there are some important things that we want to think about just in regards to voting. Now, I don't know what your timeline has looked like, Bianca. And let me ask, like, what is the sense that you're getting about people voting and understanding why their vote matters? Or like, what are you seeing in your feed?
So in my current Facebook feed, I'm seeing that people are actually having conversations with voting. I'm seeing some conversions take place between I'm voting a Republican and now I'm you know, voting Democrat because I'm voting for someone that is more competent to be in the seat. And I'm also seeing a feud on social media where there's people with a fixed mindset that are unable to be changed, and people are exhausting their energy in an attempt to. So I am seeing conversations, and I'm very thankful for that. But I also want to encourage folks that also not just take that conversation on social media, but actually go take that to the ballot and make sure that you fill out your ballot and you submit your ballot and you turn in and make sure that your voice is heard. Because now is not the time to perpetuate narratives that my voice doesn't matter. Now is not the time to say that my voice doesn't count. Now is not the time with fake news and things that are untrue. We really need to be intentional, because there's a lot of stuff going on in this world. And as you say, it's a trickling down effect. Yeah. And we need to really change the way that our world is being ran right now.
Yeah. And you just brought up some terms, and I want to make sure that we unpack those, for lack of a better way to put it, just so that people understand what we're talking about. So there's this concept called identity politics. Can you kind of talk a little bit about what that means and what that might look like?
Absolutely. So identity politics is where you align with a group or a section and you are staying true to that regardless whatever happens. You have an identity to, let's just say in political terms, since that's what we're talking about. So if you are a diehard Republican and you believe that you are Republican to the day you die, and no matter who you vote for, they will always be Republican. But the question is, if they're not a good Republican, will you still have that identity politics to say, yes, I'm still going to vote for someone that's not good just because they are a Republican? And now is not the time for identity politics and you staying and saying, I'm going to stay on this side of the line. Now it's time to really think about the person as a whole and stop the divide between Democrat, Republican, nonpartisan, and really think about who is the best person for the seat and why?
And I think we have definitely been seeing that dilemma with folks of breaking from the norm, you know, with how they identify to looking more at character, right? So when something within your spirit or your heart is like, that's not okay, right? And there's been a lot of that that has been happening. If you just watch the people that are coming out who are Republicans that have endorsed Biden, a lot of it goes to that. They're like, these things, they're just not okay. Like, these things are not okay, and I just can't anymore. So I'm going to break from my identity politics in order to make the best choice for our country, make the best choice for the American people, right? Something else that you mentioned just a moment ago was fixed mindset. And this is a term, like, we talk about it often in education, fixed mindset versus growth mindset. So I want to kind of unpack that too. The statement that you made was, getting into battles, or it was kind of along the gist of getting into battles with people who have a fixed mindset. So what does that mean if someone has a fixed mindset?
So regardless of what new information that you present to the person, they will not take the moment to pause and to really reflect, to process that new information in order to form a new opinion. So it's typically people that are traditionally not open to new ideas or to new knowledge, and they stick to what they know, and that's exactly what they go for every single time.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to throw another term in there that you just made me think about, and that term is willful ignorance. Right. So willful ignorance is when somebody is hell bent on choosing to remain ignorant. Now, the word ignorant is not a bad word. I think we utilize that word sometimes in a very derogatory context, but to be ignorant just means that you don't know. All of us are ignorant to something, right? To lots of things, to be honest. So when someone, though, is choosing to, in the face of information, in the face of being given facts and figures, in the face of seeing things on videotape, in the face of all the data and research and the sciences and the experts and all of that, and they still decide that they want to remain ignorant, this is a choice. This is a fixed mindset. This is a place where you don't really want to engage, because nothing that you say is going to change, right? So if they are not listening to experts and common sense, what makes you think they're going to listen to you? So what happens is we get really pulled in to trying to get people to understand what's going on, or reason. Like, we're trying to rationalize with irrational people, and we're trying to reason with people that are like, they have no reason. So we have to be able to recognize that. I saw that Aisha had made another comment about, she said that the debates can get heated and a lot of the important issues might not come to the forefront. So what we can expect as we are watching tonight is there's going to be a lot of gaslighting, and there are going to be a lot of dog whistles. So we want to talk about what that means. So when we say gaslighting, gaslighting is when, help me out here, Bianca. When somebody is attempting to make you believe that what you know to be true is not true.
Yep.
So, like, what would be an example? My brain just went on vacation. What would be an example of gaslighting?
So I'll use one just since we're talking about politics. So 45 was boasting about our gas prices and the price that we're paying for gas. But he's also forgetting to acknowledge the fact that we're supposed to be in quarantine. We're not supposed to go anywhere and we're supposed to be locked down. So yes, in theory, yes, we should be celebrating that the gas prices are low, but we're also forgetting the fact that when COVID-19 actually, you know, reached our front door, he downplayed the entire situation. Mm-hmm. And this is why we're here today. So that is gaslighting.
Mm-hmm. And it really made me think about, as you were talking, I was like, the fact that Florida is in phase three, right? So just last week, it was a fact, and it's still a fact, that there's a whole pandemic out here in these streets, right? But just last night, I was watching coverage of folks celebrating when the Lightning won the Stanley Cup, which is great. Yay, Lightning. But not a mask in sight. I'm talking a mass gathering of hundreds of people, not a mask in sight, right? So making you think that it's okay, there's no pandemic, what are you, it's time to go back outside, everything is fine, we're in phase three, we're just keeping moving, it's phase three, we're open, right? When there actually is a real issue and you know that there is an issue. So gaslighting is something that we can expect to see tonight. We can expect to see the disconnection from reality and trying to paint things in alternate facts. And there's going to be a lot of fact checking tonight. Let's just say that. So then the other one is dog whistles. So if you know anything about a dog whistle, like the actual whistles that we use to call a dog, right? So dogs hear at a different frequency than we do as humans. So if you blow a dog whistle, humans can't hear it unless they like have a very attuned ear. But just normal humans that hear regular, you can't hear the dog whistle because it's at a frequency where only the dogs can hear it, right? So what we can expect to see tonight is that there are going to be some dog whistles that are going to be utilized. This is what I like to call coded language. So there are certain things that are going to be said that empower a group of people to mobilize and get called to action. Okay. So I'll give you some example of dog whistles that have happened. Maybe a month ago, there was a news story about how suburban homes or suburban neighborhoods were in danger of being infiltrated by thugs. So there was some type of actor or executive order or something that was passed to protect suburban neighborhoods so they would not be at the mercy of these thugs that are infiltrating the neighborhood. Right? So I'm going to decode that for you. So what that sounds like is Black and brown people are moving into the suburbs and you know that they're dangerous and they like to do the crime and they're going to show up at your front door. So you need to go ahead and arm yourselves if they come because they're no good and they've never been. But they can't say that. Right. So they have to use things like thugs and they have to say things like your livelihood is in danger, or they use words like that neighborhood is getting kind of sketchy. Right. So all of these are dog whistles that are utilized. So tonight we can expect to hear a lot of those dog whistles that are going to be launched from the podium. Now, why do we bring all of this up? Because back to the point about arguing with people or trying to convince people who have a fixed mindset, it's important for us to make sure that we set boundaries and that we protect our peace and that we find our block button. Okay, so while we are telling you that you need to absolutely be informed and you need to absolutely pay attention to the things that are being said because they definitely have a direct impact on us and that trickle-down effect, we also want you to be aware of the type of people that are in your social media circles, the type of coworkers that you may have, the type of people that have access to you, and the types of things that they say. So what I can bet you is that tonight you are going to see at least one disappointing post from somebody where you like, really, bruh? Really? This what we doing? Like, this is what we're saying? Like, really? You're going to have at least one of those moments. I'm just saying one. It for some of y'all might be like 17, but you're going to have at least one. So then your decision to make from that is, figuring out whether that person has a fixed mindset, figuring out whether that person is willfully ignorant, and is it worth your time and energy to try to reason with that person if they are hell-bent on being unreasonable. What we don't want you to do is waste your time and energy trying to convince people, and they're willfully ignorant. They don't want to be convinced. They believe what they believe. Nothing that you say is going to change it. So at that point, you have to decide what type of boundaries you're going to set. And you know, we talk about boundaries all the time, right? Mm-hmm. But it extends into our social media spaces. So am I going to unfollow this person? Am I going to unfriend this person? Am I just going to ignore it? Am I going to just decide to go ahead and block them? Because maybe this isn't the first time that I've seen these types of comments from them, and they just need to go, right? We are empowering you to utilize the block button, the unfollow button. And if you feel triggered, and when we say triggered, like you feel like you're getting frustrated, you feel like your heart is racing, you feel like you can't type fast enough to respond to whatever that they're saying, or you feel like they're trying to push your buttons, that is a key for you to disengage. Block them and wish them a good day. Right? Because it is very damaging to your mental health and your peace if you decide to continue going back and forth with those people. So we want to make sure that we mention that, because we know that it's going to happen. And now that we know that it's going to happen, then we can have a plan for how to deal with it. And speaking of plan, this is the last thing that we want to unpack, is making sure that you have a plan and everybody that is connected to you has a plan for what it's going to look like for you to vote. So in Florida, the registration deadline is October 5th, I believe.
Yes.
Which is in, let me look at my calendar, in 6 days. Okay, so the time is winding down to make sure that you are registered to vote and that people connected to you are registered to vote. You also want to make sure that if you have changed your address recently, that that is properly reflected on your registration. You want to make sure that you know where your polling place is. So with COVID, some of the polling places have changed. You want to make sure that you know where your polling place is if you plan on voting in person. So the next part of that is preparing for how you're going to cast your vote. Are you going in person? Are you going to do early voting? Are you going to do vote by mail? Are you going to actually vote on election day? Which all of those are fine, to each his own. We advocate voting as early as possible, just in case something happens. But if for some reason that does not work and you aren't able to vote early, or you aren't able to get your mail-in ballot and you do go on election day, then we want to make sure that you have properly planned. So whatever day that you're going to vote, you want to make sure that you, if you have the ability to take the day off, so that you are not on a time crunch, right? So you're not going to be able to just swoop in on your lunch break and go vote. Like, just anticipate that is not going to happen, right? You may need to have a chair with you because you don't know how long you might be standing in line, depending on what your polling place looks like, or if you go for early voting. So having a sack chair, having something to drink, making sure that you've eaten before you've gone so that you're not fatigued while you're there, making sure that you've utilized your sample ballot and that you've made your selections on your sample ballot, that you've brought your sample ballot with you, and that you are making informed decisions about who you are voting for, right? So doing that research and really carving out a plan for who you're going to vote for. So back to us thinking about that trickle-down effect, something that happens is an actual term called voter fatigue. And this is when the ballot is so long, and y'all have experienced this because I know I have, that the ballot is so long. There are so many things that are on the ballot that by the time you get to the end, you like, child, whatever. Okay, like, I'm a jizz. Kimberlyn, sure, that looks like a good name. Go ahead, put her in, whatever. And it you get real, like you're real happy at the top, right? You voted for president, you done voted for your senator and all of that, okay? And then, you know, the things at state level, and now you're getting down to the local level, you're getting weary, okay? So the whole thing with the sample ballot is it gives you time to make those choices ahead of time so that you can take that with you. Or if you do mail-in voting, you have time to really do your research, think about it, and get that back in the mail to make sure that that it gets in on time, or that you drop it off at your supervisor of elections office. I will say the mail has been severely delayed. I don't know what y'all's mail has been looking like, but it's been taking me almost a month to get some of my mail. So if you are voting by mail, there's a really quick turnaround. So we want to make sure that you get your stuff in. And then consider volunteering at the polls, right? We need people who look like us to be at the polls to ensure that nobody is being disenfranchised or turned away or not given the opportunity to vote. Consider signing up to phone bank and make phone calls on behalf of a candidate. And if you can't do any of that, use your social media platform and allow people to have access to the information that will help them to be informed voters. The most dangerous type of voter is a voter that is uninformed. So we want to make sure that people have the proper information and they understand why they are voting for or who they are voting for. What did I leave out, Bianca?
You covered all of it. You covered it.
That was a lot. Was a lot. So we wanted to get this information out. Oh, Aisha put a comment in. She said, I was given advice from a friend. The day you go to vote, if you vote in person, do not wear any clothing that shows what your political beliefs are. So you don't want to wear a RBG shirt or a Black Lives Matter shirt or a Biden Harris shirt or a MAGA hat or whatever. Like, you don't want to, because they may consider it campaigning. So when you go to vote, you want to make sure that you don't have on any type of attire that could make it look like you are campaigning for a particular candidate, because they could tell you that you couldn't vote and now your vote has been suppressed, or they might give you a provisional ballot and we don't have high belief that those get counted. So thank you for that, Aisha. Can you think of anything else that we may want to put out to the people just to kind of tie this all up?
So it's really important that people are intentional with looking at who they're voting for and why, like what you said. And if you don't feel like doing the research, I'm pretty sure that there's organizations that are like-minded with the values and principles that you stand for that would do the work for you to give you slate cards and information to help you make those decisions if you're unable to do so. So, for example, Teaching for the Culture has been a platform to really do investigative work for Pinellas, Hillsborough, and Manatee County for school board races. So that would be a great platform for you to see who we recommend for a school board and why. And there's other organizations out there that's similar to Teaching for the Culture and different avenues that are advocating for their candidates in the seat. So please be intentional, folks, because this is a vital time in our world. And we need to make sure that, number one, we're engaged, but number two, that we're intentional so that we can move this forward, because enough is enough.
Yeah, for real. Real talk. So we need you all to share this. We came on early so that there is time for you to disseminate the information, as well as time for people to take a moment to listen in. So our ask is that you share the broadcast, that you tag people that are important to you so that they can tune in tonight, right? And even sharing when you're watching the debate tonight that you're watching the debate and what channel you're watching it on, right? Because everybody is not, this is not at the forefront of everybody's mind, and it's no slight on them. Like, some people are busy trying to survive. And that is okay, right? But the more that we can engage them and get them plugged in and help them to understand why it matters, the better off that we'll be and the more informed voters that we will be able to produce. So we definitely appreciate you all watching and taking the time to listen in. And yeah, we'll be back in 2 weeks. With our next episode, and we'll be back at our new time of 9 p.m. Eastern as we chatted up, but this was too important to act like it wasn't going on. So thanks, y'all, for listening in and indulging us.
As always, thank you for tuning in to Teaching for the Culture, and thank you for tuning in to the whole Child series with Bianca Goolsby and Kimberlyn Jackson. And please make sure that you subscribe and like the work that we're doing. It really helps the movement, and please make sure that you share and get people involved. Our world and where it's at, we cannot afford to sit silent anymore. Enough is enough. You have any closing words, Kimberlyn?
You said it. Enough is enough.
Well, with that being said, I hope everyone has a great night, and we will see y'all in 2 weeks.
Bye, y'all.